Holy and gracious God, we come before you now. We ask you, Lord, to take your word, place it in our hearts, and renew us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Perhaps you heard about the man who had been suffering with a headache for several days. Finally, he went to see a doctor. However, the office nurse, who looked and acted like a Marine drill sergeant at Parrish Island, greeted him gruffly. When he told her about his headache, she barked in a loud, stern voice, "Go into the examining room, take off your clothes, and put on this hospital gown. The doctor will be there in a few minutes." The man protested. "But ma'am," he said, "I don't really need to go through all of that. I just have a chronic headache." To which the nurse answered, "Sir, did you hear what I said? You go into that examining room and put on the hospital gown right now." And so the man did. When he got into the room and closed the door, he discovered another man already sitting in there wearing a hospital gown. The man with the headache said to the other guy, "This is ridiculous. I don't know why in the world I'm here. This is crazy. I just have a headache." The other man said, "You think you've got problems? I just came here to read the meter." Now that nurse had power, didn't she? But that's not the kind of power that we're going to talk about on this Pentecostal Sunday. We're going to talk about the power of God's presence in our lives given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, Christians around the world are celebrating Pentecost. The feast day occurs 50 days after Easter and marks the end of the Easter season. Pentecost is the day the church remembers the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. From a historical point of view, Pentecost was the day the church was started. So we often call Pentecost Sunday the church's birthday. Our liturgical color is red. I can see how many people were here last week because I reminded everybody to wear red last week. To signify the work of the Spirit all around us. As you know, we have red velvet cupcakes after this service. And I'm not sure how red velvet cupcakes came into play on Pentecost, but I'm all for them. The English word Pentecost is a transliteration from the Greek word Pentecostus, which means 50. In the Jewish tradition, this holiday is known as the Festival of Weeks. Pentecost comes from an expression in Leviticus, which instructs people to count 7 weeks or 50 days from the end of Passover to the beginning of the next holiday, Shavuot. This day was especially significant for Christians because it was 7 weeks after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pentecost was the day the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the followers of Jesus to gather them as a church and to give them power. The most vivid account of Pentecost with the Holy Spirit descending upon the disciples is written in the second chapter in the book of Acts that we just heard Bill read. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. For those of us following along in the Gospel of John, the descending of the Holy Spirit came through the breath of Jesus. Through a locked door, Jesus stood among the disciples. He entered into the midst of the disciples with the words, "Peace be with you." It's just like Jesus to enter in the middle of great tension and fear and bring peace. It's just like Jesus to come with might and power to make the disciples new. It's just like Jesus to restore the disciples to inner security and fearlessness. And it's just like Jesus to breathe on them as God breathed on creation, to send them out into the world in peace. It seems the wind and the fire was necessary to open the closed doors. Perhaps it was fear and anger that kept the doors closed. Only Jesus could step into the intense situation and bring peace. Too often we tend to be paralyzed behind closed doors, terrified of the wind and the fire that linger outside. But Jesus offers us peace. Peace in the midst of chaos. Peace that he would reassure us in the time of great distress. Peace that would soothe us. Peace that would restore our inner security and fearlessness. Peace be with you. Those are the words that I would want to hear. In the midst of the rush of a violent wind and tongues of fire piercing in the air, peace would be the word that I would want to hear. The only thing that I can identify with Pentecost, this mighty wind and fire, is a tornado. The swirling, singing circles of wind and taunting time tongues of fire. That's what I think of when I think of Pentecost. The storm before the calm. When I was a child, whenever the threat of a tornado was present, no matter what time of the day or night, we gathered as a family into the curve of our staircase. My mother was extremely afraid of tornadoes. She was told by the local meteorologist that the safest place in the house in the event of a tornado was the lower portion of the stairwell. More often than not, these threats of tornadoes came in the middle of the night. My mother and dad would round us up out of a deep sleep to circle together on the stairs as a family to wait out the storm. The wind would howl and swirl. Lightning would electrify the sky with tongues of fire. We sat behind closed doors waiting for the anger and the fighting of the dark and light to suspend. Jesus came to open the closed doors. He came to bring peace to his followers. As God had sent Jesus, Jesus came to send those who believe in him with peace. The power and the might of the wind and the fire had manifested through the Holy Spirit unto the disciples, those willing to proclaim the good news of God. The power of the wind and the fire propelled the apostles to finish the work of God. The wind and the fire were the agents that brought the good news of God to the lost, to the fearful, to the mentally ill, to the hopeless, to the emotionally, physically, or sexually abused. Perhaps it was that very wind and fire that keeps us from becoming idle and passionless. Perhaps it's the wind and the fire that are the very signs of peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Perhaps it is the wind and the fire that propels us on our way to dream dreams God has for us. Is that what it'll take for us? Will a mighty wind and tongues of fire enliven us as the people of God? For many of us, it takes something like wind and fire to respond to God's call. But it seems Jesus knew that that would be the case. Like the disciples, when we recognize God's call, his breath on us, the Holy Spirit is the power we need to carry out God's design. The Holy Spirit will be the comfort in the storms. The Holy Spirit will send us out to break barriers that separate human beings from one another. The Holy Spirit will guide us, renew us, and empower us as the people of God. It will be through the power of the Holy Spirit that the followers of Jesus Christ will carry out God's mission for the church. It is the Spirit of God that is the creative force, inspiring prophecy in the likes of you and me. It is the Holy Spirit that brings and sustains new life into our very lives. It is the Holy Spirit that redeems us and transforms our very bodies. And it is through the Holy Spirit that God will possess us. Norman Neves, the senior minister at the Church of the Servant in Oklahoma, told about a teacher asking the students in her fourth grade class to name the person they considered the greatest person alive in the world today. Their responses were varied and interesting. One little boy said, "I think it's Tom Brady, because he led the Patriots to all those Super Bowl wins." A little girl said, "George Bush, because he was a great president." And still another named Oprah. And on it went, with students mentoring a wide variety of celebrities. But then there was little Donnie's turn. Without hesitation, Donnie said, "I think it's Jesus Christ, because he loves everybody and always is ready to help them." Mrs. Thompson smiled and said, "Well, I certainly like your answer, Donnie, because I'm a Christian too, and I also admire Jesus very much. But there's one slight problem. I said the greatest living person, and of course Jesus lived and died some 2,000 years ago. Do you have another name in mind?" I love the simple, innocent, confident, wide-eyed response of Donnie. He said, "Oh no, Mrs. Thompson, that's not right at all. Jesus Christ is alive. He lives in me right now." That's the good news of Pentecost Sunday. God is with us right now, working from the inside out, giving us the breath of life and the firepower of the Holy Spirit and the peace which passes all understanding. John's gospel assures us that the Spirit of God knows us even better than we know ourselves. The Holy Spirit will intercede for us in our weakness and on our behalf. The Holy Spirit will conform our wills to the will of God. The departure of Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus guarantees us an advocate, a comforter, and a teacher. The Spirit of Jesus equips us and inspires us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ with peace. I wonder where we could use Jesus' peace right now. Could we use God's peace in some relationship, some inner fear, or in our work? We could certainly use Jesus' peace in Manchester and London. Today, on this day of Pentecost, we know Jesus lives, not because he can walk through closed doors, but because he continues to bring new life into us through the gift of the Holy Spirit with peace. The Holy Spirit will sustain us to continue God's work in the world. The wind and the fire of the Spirit will push us into the boardrooms, the courtrooms, and the surgery waiting rooms. The Holy Spirit will unlock doors and open the way of eternal life to every race and nation. The Holy Spirit will provide the power we need to carry out God's design. Duke University did a study on peace of mind. The factors that they found that contribute greatly to emotional and to mental stability are the absence of suspicion and resentment. Nursing a grudge was a major factor in unhappiness. Not living in the past. An unwholesome preoccupation with the old mistakes and failures leads to depression. Not wasting time and energy fighting conditions you cannot change. Cooperate with life instead of trying to run away from it. Refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Accept the fact that nobody gets through life without some sorrow or misfortune. Find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people scored lowest in any test for measuring happiness. Jesus came not to claim power, but to give it away. Today, on this Pentecost Sunday, we realize that we are Spirit-powered and Spirit-guided people. Our mission is to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, who forgives our sins and gives us the gift of eternal life. Today on Pentecost, I pray we will witness the power of the Holy Spirit that unlocks doors, that same Holy Spirit that rolled away the door of stone for Jesus bears unceasing witness to the love of God in Christ for you and for me. Pentecost is the day we're called to go into the world, propelled by the wind and the fire of the Holy Spirit, to proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord with peace. Amen.